Well, a very Merry Christmas to you and yours, and we thank you for listening to this message today. Do you ever find yourself tending to get the cart out in front of the horse, especially during the hectic season of Christmas time? Sometimes we get so busy with holiday planning and all that goes with the celebration, we just don't realize that the cart's outrunning the horse. And you know what? Every time we do that without fail, we're going to wreck the buggy. It happens every single time. Well, it was Christmas Eve, and four-year-old Becky wanted to play. Her neighborhood friends had all gone away for the holidays. She was feeling rather neglected. Maybe Mama will play with me, but no, Mommy pushed her to the side. Becky, I'm just too busy today to play. Granny and Papa are coming over this evening, and I've got to bake all those pies and get the turkey ready and wrap all those presents for tomorrow. I'm sorry. Why don't you just go clean up your room, and that'll keep you out of the way. After all, it's Christmas time. So Becky played alone. Her afternoon brightened up considerably when the car pulled into the driveway. Daddy's home. Daddy'll play with me, Becky thought. So she rushed to the front door with her arms outstretched, ready for her usual hug. But Daddy's arms were already full. He was carrying more boxes and bags than she had ever seen before. "For me?" she squealed. "No," he muttered, "for later." One good look at his face told Becky that he'd had a hard day. "Can you play with me?" she smiled. "Now, Becky, not now. It's Christmas time." So Becky went on playing alone. At supper time, Mommy and Daddy were so busy talking and planning, they didn't even notice that Becky needed the butter for her bread. So she reached for it herself. Her elbow bumped her milk glass on the way by, and over it went. "Oh, Becky, not tonight," Mommy moaned. "Everything is so busy at Christmas time. Please run on to bed. I'll be up in just a minute to tuck you in and say your prayers." Becky was already kneeling when Mommy walked into the room. Her prayer was simple. "God, forgive us of our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." Let's remember to keep the traditions in line with what's important at Christmas time. An age-old tradition is to wait in line and go sit in Santa's lap and tell him what you want for Christmas. You eagerly sit on his knee and you listen attentively to what he has to say, and you hope that he'll promise you the things you want for Christmas. But then sometimes on Christmas morning, you find out you can't always depend on Santa. However, one promise was given over 700 years before Christ that you can take to the bank. Under the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah promised that a child would be born. That passage also described the character and person of the Messiah some 700 years from the time it was written. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, our text verse for today, and the crux of the message that we have titled The Christmas Promise. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For a child has been born unto us, a son has been given to us. His shoulders, responsibility. He's called Extraordinarily Strategist, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Well, Jesus is called several things in this passage, and I want us to take a look at each one of these things as we look at the Messiah who has come to save man from all of his sins. He is a wonderful counselor, the Bible says. He's a wonderful because his incarnation defies all human understanding. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming to the likeness of men." He was equal to God the Father, verse 6 says. So why then would God take on himself a human body with human emotions and human feelings and human aches and pains? It's nothing short of miraculous that God did that, and he did it for one reason, and that is for you and me. That's why the scripture says it's wonderful. Is it any wonder that the angels sang, or the shepherds rejoiced, or the magi traveled for 2 years to see this child? Why would he love me so much? Why would he love you so much? What have you done to deserve God's love? What have I done to deserve God's love? We don't deserve it, but God gave it to us because he loves us, because he wanted to redeem us after our fall into sin. And that's exactly what it's about. It is the salvation of man as to why God came to earth. And it's wonderful. He is a wonderful counselor. There's an old legend that says back in the throne room of heaven, plans were being made to announce that birth of Christ, God's Son, on the earth. Michael the archangel had just finished describing his heavenly display of comets and falling stars, and the sky would be full for a year preceding and then another year following the birth of Christ. Gabriel responded with all of his musical plans. He said there'll be a great angelic choir, tens of thousands of sopranos and tens of thousands of altos, tens of thousands of tenors and tens of thousands of basses, and they'd all be tuned with the latest and finest of heaven's harmonies, ready to carol the earth with the greatest barrage of music that anyone has ever heard. Well, God interrupted that conversation about that time when he said, "No, that's really not what I had in mind." "You want more than that?" asked Gabriel. "No," God smiled, "that's too much. You see, I had planned a small gathering in Bethlehem, actually. We really don't need all those trimmings." "But what about all my stars?" asked Michael. "What do I do with them?" "And my music and my rehearsal time?" asked Gabriel. Just as Gabriel stopped for a breath as he was asking God about his music, Jesus stepped through the pearly gates and out onto the red carpet of time, and he started down the stairway of stars. Michael pled, "Father, let us do something. He can't just go unannounced." "Well, all right," God said. "Gabriel, a few angels, and Michael, just one star." The miraculous birth of Christ is wonderful. It also said in that verse, he is mighty God. He has the power to protect us against every fiery dart and of Satan himself. Sometimes it's against our own foolish mind and our own foolish actions that God protects us. He has the power to preserve us when our strength fails or when Satan tries to drag us down. He has that power to provide. Sometimes in the face of absolute impossibility, God provides. Have you ever gotten through a trip or through a place where you've traveled somewhere and you look back and you realize you were in several close encounters for an accident or for something bad happening? Been many times that I've traveled a long way and look back and realize there was an accident that took place right behind me. Or sometimes I get into the traffic following an accident, get all aggravated because the traffic is stalled, and then when I get up there, I realize if I had been just a few minutes earlier, it could have been me in that accident. God provided and protected, and I thank God that he does that. He is a mighty God. He is able to protect us. And even when we think God is not protecting us, he is. Because you see, we live in this world and sin affects the world and bad things happen to good people. But that doesn't mean that God's not there. He's there every step of the way. He is a mighty God. During World War II, a Marine was separated from his unit on a Pacific island. The fighting had been intense and the smoke and the crossfire, and he'd lost touch with his comrades. He was by himself in the jungle. He could hear the enemy soldiers coming in his direction, so he scrambled for cover and he found his way up to a high ridge and to several small caves in the rock. Quickly, he crawled inside one of them and hid in the back of the cave. Although safe for the moment, he realized that once the enemy soldiers looking for him swept up the ridge, they would quickly search the caves and he would be killed. As he waited to die, he prayed, "Lord, if it be your will, please protect me. Whatever your thought, and whatever your will, I will trust you and love you. Amen, he said. After praying, he lay quietly listening to the enemy, began to draw closer and closer, and he thought, well, I guess the Lord isn't going to help me out of this one. Just then he saw a spider begin to build a web over the front of the cave. As he watched and listening to the enemy searching for him all the while, the spider layered strand after strand of web across the opening of the cave. Ah, he thought, what I need is a brick wall, and God sent me a spider web. God really does have a sense of humor. Well, as the enemy drew closer, he watched from the darkness of his hideout, and he could see that one was searching one cave after another. And as they came to his, he got ready to make his last stand. But to his amazement, after glancing in the direction of the cave, they moved on. Suddenly, he realized that the spider web over the entrance of his cave made it look as if no one had entered it for quite a while. Lord, forgive me for doubting, he prayed. I had forgotten that you in a spider web is stronger than a brick wall. We all face times of great trouble and trials, and when we do, it's so easy to forget that the victories of God would work in our lives, and sometimes they work in surprising ways. As the great leader Nehemiah reminded the people of Israel when they faced the task of rebuilding Jerusalem, in God we will have success, from Nehemiah 2, verse 20. And this verse also says he is an everlasting father, not the warped worldly view of a father who is unfaithful, but a father God like an earthly father many of us would want to love as a father. Amazing how much of our concept of God is shaped by the image of our own earthly father, be that good or bad. But God still loves us with an unconditional love, and he demonstrates to us what a true father is all about. God loves us so much he gave away himself on the cross so that he will have everlasting life if we will only believe on him. God will therefore be with us always. Not just with us when it benefits him, but he's with us all the time. He is everywhere we go. Someone said, I'll give you a dollar if you can't tell me where he ain't. I like that. God is everywhere. There was an article in a National Geographic several years ago provided a penetrating picture of God's wings. After a forest fire in Yellowstone's National Park, forest rangers began their trek up the mountain to assess the inferno's damage. One ranger came across a bird that was literally petrified in the ashes. He was perched strategically on the ground at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by that eerie sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick, and when he gently struck that bird, three tiny little chicks scurried out from under their dead mother's wings. That loving mother, keenly aware of the impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of that tree and gathered them under her wings, instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise and she would die. She could have flown to safety, but she'd have had to release her babies to die. She could not abandon her babies. And so the blaze arrived and the heat scorched her small body, and Mama remained steadfast. Because she had been willing to die, those under the cover of her wings would now live. You see, God will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we'll find refuge. That's Psalm 91:4. Being loved as much as we should make a difference in our lives. Remember the one who loves you, and then be different because of his love. Remember that great promise. And the Bible also says he is our Prince of Peace. Perhaps the greatest benefit of salvation is peace. The Bible calls it peace that passes understanding. I first experienced that peace as a new Christian from many, many years ago when God gave me peace in the middle of a storm. I remember when I was preparing to go to college, to Bible college, I didn't have money because I had socked aside every penny of money that I could possibly put in the bank. My check had come in the week before, and I had put every penny of it in the bank. And it was Sunday morning, and I was very active in my church. I was working, picking up young people in my car, and even drove the bus from time to time. This particular day, I was scheduled to go to a nearby town called Rockmart to pick up a family of kids and take them to church and back. And as I got outside to get in the car, I remembered my car was low on gasoline, and I didn't have any money. That was before the days of debit cards, so I couldn't access my money on that Sunday. I needed cash that morning. And so I began to pray. I said, Lord, you know my obligations. You know what I'm up against. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be, to have my needs met here on this Sunday morning. I walked in. I had chosen to wear a suit that day that I hadn't worn in a long time. And I picked the jacket up after I prayed that prayer to put it on and started to walk out the door thinking, I guess I'll have to go over to the pastor's house and see if he'll loan me $10. Rather embarrassed, I put that coat on and got ready to get in the car, and I stuck my hand in the right coat pocket, and there was a $10 bill. Now, you say, you put that there. I probably did, and I forgot about it. But you know what? I was not the kind of kid that would forget about money, so God had to do that. God provided, maybe through my own carelessness, or through whatever means he did, but that money was there when I needed it. And I found many times all through the years that God provided every penny that I needed to take care of me. God gave me peace in the midst of financial storms, in the midst of storms with a family, in the midst of all kinds of storms. And God will bring us peace in the midst of a storm. We're going to hear a song today by Alvin Slaughter, and it really speaks volumes about that peace in the midst of the storm. If you're having a storm today, remember, you can always find peace.
Yes, when the world I've been living in crumbles at my feet, when my life is all tattered and torn, I've been windswept, I've been battered, but I'll cling to the cross. He gives me peace, yes, in the midst of a storm. So we're singing, he'll give you peace. Yes, he will. In the midst of the storm tossed around. He's my anchor, my rock. I can build my faith upon. Oh, Jesus Christ, he's my refuge. In him, may crumble at your feet. Maybe your life is all tattered and torn. I believe I'll testify. You see, I've been windswept. This man's been battered, but I'm gonna cling to the cross. He gives me peace, yeah, in the midst of every storm. And one more thing, you see, when I come to the end of life's journey and all of the living seems but a moment, when my doctor, he just might shake his head and look forlorn, Jesus Christ, he makes my bedside.
the Prince of Peace will give you peace that passes understanding in the midst of the storm. Wow, what a song. Alvin Slaughter and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and they do such a beautiful job of bringing that point out. And there were in the same country fathers keeping watch over their homes by night, but going to work every morning to make lots of money. And lo, the smooth-voiced TV announcer came upon them, and the glory of many fine possessions shone round about them, and they were sore afraid that they would never be able to buy all the things their families wanted. And the smooth-voiced TV announcer said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all fathers and mothers and children and relatives, for unto you is born in the city where our store is a Savior. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find this wondrous one wrapped in red clothing and sporting white whiskers, and he shall be called Santa Claus." And suddenly there was with the announcer a multitude of TV actors praising the store and saying, "Glory to Santa, and on earth lots of presents for all." And it came to pass, as the TV actors faded away, that the fathers and the mothers said one to another, "Let us now go unto this store that the TV actors have made known unto us." And they came with haste and found glittering wristwatches and fur coats, portable audio and video devices, and their favorite electronic toys. There they also found the wondrous one dressed in red, sitting by the cash register, saying, "Ho, ho, ho." They made known unto all their neighbors how they were going to have one of the best Christmases ever. And Santa Claus pondered all the interest he was going to collect in his heart. Say, be careful that the message of what man has to sell does not overwhelm the proclamation of what God has to give. This Christmas, let's remember the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the reason for the season.